Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Veronica. How are you this evening? This is Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show, and I am so excited to be with you. I am looking forward to spending the next 30 minutes with you, and I hope that you will enjoy the broadcast as well. I am looking forward to you. We've been gone for a minute, but, you know, we are back tonight, and my co-host, Veronica McMillan, hopefully she'll be able to join me as well. And so I'm looking forward to just spending a few minutes with you guys and just catching up and just knowing that we are here for you, and hopefully you can enjoy the show. So I am so excited. Hey, Veronica, how are you?
Hey, Francine, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I had to readjust, girl, and you know how sometimes you just can't get it together. You try to get all these buttons to work at one time. And I knew you were there, and I was like, don't hang up, I'm here.
The music was different and everything. I was like, hold up, that's not it.
Uh-huh. Yes,
oh my goodness.
And now it's
technology.
Doing something different.
That's how it is.
Yes. It's asking me to click something. I don't even want to click it because I don't know. It's something different. It's like something to do with the switchboard. But anyway, we're going to just get rolling. Welcome, everyone, to Issues Concerning Women. We are so excited to be with you, and my co-host is with me tonight, Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network. So we definitely want to welcome you all to the show. And thank you so much for everyone who follows us and everyone who continues to ask us questions and contacts us. We really appreciate it. So Issues Concerning Women focuses on women, their families, reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. So tonight I would like to introduce to you my co-partner, Veronica McMillan. So Veronica, tell them a little bit about the Micro Nonprofit Network.
Sure. Thank you so very much, Francine. Well, the Micro Nonprofit Network is a network of nonprofits coming together specifically to educate, to equip, and empower nonprofits. That's our mission, to serve their communities. And so it's just really a collection of nonprofits coming together to share resources, to brainstorm, to basically find resources for each other, and to be able to just hold each other up and help each other to grow and to be accountable in the work that they're doing for their community. So that's a little short version of who the Micro Nonprofit is and what we do in the community.
Absolutely. Thank you. Issues Concerning Women has been around for a long time, since 2007. But what we've done is we collaborate with other businesses and nonprofits to make sure that women can get education that they need, coaching, mentoring, all of those things that Veronica just mentioned. And we are advocates for services so that we can help the community to build it better, to build self-worth and self-determination. So our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise, nutrition and classes, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. So tonight we're just going to talk a little bit just to catch up. Veronica and I have been on the run for the whole month, basically. And so now we've come back together to just talk to you all about some of the things that we're doing. And so, Veronica, I'm going to let you tell about the program for the Kids Academy that's going to start in January, I believe. So correct me if I'm wrong, but just tell the audience about that.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, the Kids Law Academy really started last year when we had the Kids and Cops conversation. And from that conversation, we knew that the kids' voice was important, and we wanted to hear the perspectives of kids for what's going on in our community, especially around this whole social justice movement. And so we decided, the kids and I and the board decided that we wanted to hear what the kids wanted to know and their perspective in terms of law enforcement. And so the Kids Academy was kind of birthed from that question. And so we formed a board, and we have right now 4 board members who meet every other month, and they are the ones that's driving this train. Initially, we thought September was going to be the month that we start everything off, but when we met and talked with the board members about it, they basically said, nope. Because we are kids and we go to school, we don't want to have the burden of trying to do school and trying to do this thing as well. So they pushed it back. So this was, again, we're taking the lead from them. They have a board meeting this month. I think it's the 3rd Friday of this month. I'll be meeting with the young person that will be leading this month's board meeting. And they're going to basically kind of give us directions for that January launch. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what kids have to say. We know that this is an educational career kind of program, but it also is a place or activity, excuse me, not an activity, it's also a space for kids to really talk about what they feel like is right for them in terms of the social justice movement, because we know that as kids always have a different perspective. Sometimes they have the same perspective as parents, but for the most part, they may have a different perspective, but they don't want to voice that because they don't want to cause commotion and confusion and stuff in the household where they live. But we wanted to have that space and place for kids to really have that conversation, as well as, you know, learn about law enforcement careers. And we're not just talking about police. We're talking about any career that can be associated with law enforcement. So I'm excited, Francine. I'm really excited.
Absolutely.
Our goal is to have, you know, 10 kids. We have 2 police departments that are partners with us, and we're working with Regent University and some of their law students. So we got to get that piece squared away because there's going to be a mock court appearance. I'm just so excited about it, and I just can't wait to see, you know, what these kids do in this program as we bring this program to life in January. So I'm just really excited, and I think that's what the kids want. They want to do something
mm-hmm.
different. And so we're going to definitely see what they're going to do. And, of course, your grandson, his smart self, is part of the board as well and so articulate. I'm just so impressed with these kids, Francis. I could talk all night long about them.
Oh,
I'm just
sure,
so,
sure.
We were impressed with them last year, Francine, when we had that cops and kids conversation. These are really, really good kids with that's vocal and articulate and just really understands that parents, adults really need to hear from a kid's perspective. So enough of that, but that's basically the Kids Law Academy.
No, I could listen all night about it because I think it's so prevalent in this day and time that we have something like this for our kids to fully understand the undertaking that is happening throughout every city, not just Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Every
mm-hmm.
city is going through something with the gun violence and the
yes.
police brutality and
mm-hmm.
the abuse of each other in the communities, and we're hearing more and more about gang violence in our
mm-hmm.
own cities. And they just
yes.
recently did a raid, and they came up with all these guns and these children who are minors who were caught up in this. And we
mm-hmm.
know gangs happen, but you think about when I think about a gang, I think about, you know, like a big city, you know, a windy city, and
right.
no names, I don't want to put no name on nobody, but a big city where this is going on, you know. But it's
yeah.
happening right outside of our door. And
yeah.
we have to really, really open our eyes because we go in our homes now. It's not like it
mm-hmm.
used to be. Everybody used to come out and know who their neighbor was,
mm-hmm.
and they talked to the
right.
kids, and they knew who the teenagers were, and they knew whose son or daughter was the bad one, you know, in the neighborhood, because every block has one, you know, somebody's
mm-hmm.
kid who's always getting into trouble. You knew that was the one, but you would quickly send him or her home. You can't do that now because, one, the children won't tolerate it, and, two, the parents won't back you up if you do it. So you have to be
exactly.
very careful what you say to somebody's child. And so it's a different time and place. And when we used to talk about it takes a village, it really did. You know, Miss Mary next door and the other Miss Mary 2 doors down, if I did something I didn't know was doing, you best believe they was carting me off back to my house and then talking to my mother about what I had done. And I
mm-hmm.
better not, talk back to them, you know. And when we saw the police, most of the time we would run because we knew that was an authority figure. These young people,
mm-hmm.
and they should not be afraid of the police. That's not what I'm saying. But we had fear that if we might be doing something wrong, so we better straighten up and get off that corner and go back, you know, to our homes. But now it's so
exactly.
different, and it feels so different, and it feels mm-hmm. Underlining feels evil. And I just have to put it out there. There's no other word I can use for it. It just feels evil. I don't know if it's something in the air. My husband says it's something in the air. But, like, you know, they talk about something in the water. There's something in the air that's affecting these people. And we know what some of the triggers are. It is mental health. It is young people watching too much TV, playing video games, and thinking this is real life. When you watch a newsreel, and you're thinking, this must be a video game because this don't happen in our city. It is real. And so all the parents who are listening to us tonight, if you don't think that your child is involved in something, I suggest that you find out and be for sure that you know what your children are doing, and especially if they live in your home. Now, once they become adults, they're on their own to do whatever they want to do. But in my house, there's no locked doors. There is no, you don't have stuff under your bed that don't supposed to be there. You don't have stuff in your closet. Now, you might, and I might not find it for a while, but eventually I'm going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I want to know what's going on. And so this is so prevalent in this day and time, and I can get along with it too with this, but I'm so excited that the young people are telling us what they want to do, how they want to do it, and how they can proceed in different careers, even if whether or not it's law enforcement or not. We see that there's a need for police officers, yes, but if they're going to treat them the way that they've been treating them, why would my son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter want to be a police officer? Why would they?
Exactly.
And so this gives them the opportunity to see that all police officers are not bad. They're, you know, in every organization, there's a few ones that don't follow the rules. But for the most part, we want them to learn that it's okay that you can talk to a police officer, that you can go to a police station, that you can go in a courtroom and not be afraid for your life because you're not sure how the judge is going to treat you or what bias is out there. So this is awesome. I am truly, truly excited about it. I am just over the moon, so happy that this project is coming to fruition. And like you said, we started it last year, so we're just going to move forward with it. And so now to flip the script, let's talk about child care, because I know that this is near and dear to your heart as well, and this is what we need to be talking about. These issues are things that are prevalent. They are up front and center, and there are some new rules and regulations that are going to be happening for those individuals in child care. So, Veronica, can you talk about that tonight?
Sure. I'm thinking that this is probably something that has been in the works for a minute, but July of this year, 2021, basically child care providers who wanted licensure and all of that stuff went through the Department of Social Services. In July, that mantle switched over to the Department of Education, and the Department of Education now has that oversight of that. Now, they're still kind of working out the bugs, and they're giving it till 2023 before they go into the transitioning is happening now, but by 2023, child care providers, whether they be, if they're getting any kind of subsidy from the government, then they're going to have to meet those mandates. Now, if you're going to be a child care provider and not receiving any kind of governmental subsidies, whether it be local subsidies, federal subsidies, then you're going to be okay. But the moment that you have more than three kids in your daycare home or your daycare center or what have you, you still got to be licensed, which means now you're going to have to fall under that mandate of DOE. And so that is going to be something whenever you have a big transition like that, Francine, from Department of Social Service, because everybody remember, because even years ago, I started out in the child care business. My degree was early childhood education, and I did, I was a center director, and then I opened up my own daycare for 12 years, had my home daycare. And then I left the daycare scene and got into teaching in the public school and then working with Girl Scouts and all that stuff. But, yeah, so this big transition is going to happen. And so what we've done and what we're doing is we're partnering with Suffolk Library because they have an ECDC coordinator there because they're trying to get providers, you know, geared up for this. And we just came along and said, hey, we can do an early childhood training program because we want to launch a after-school program in 2022 as well. So if the timing of all of this was just tremendous, Francie. And I said that's one of those God-ordained moments that you didn't know you were doing something that was going to end up being something that could be on the forefront of the change. So providers really going to have to be prepared for the new changes that's coming in 2023. And as I said, they've geared up already and they're starting making these transitions to help providers to be prepared. But the 2023 year is going to be where you have to be ready if you decide to go at the federal funding or what have you. You're just going to have to reach that mandate. And so we just want to be on the cutting edge, just bringing that history of what we did before as well as what we want to do in 2022 in terms of our aftercare program that we want to launch as well. So I'm excited about that as well. Again, all this is new. It is something that we plan on doing because ultimately we want to, you know, move in a space where we can do larger numbers of kids and things of that nature. So we're just slow walking it. But, again, we know that it's going to be the launch in 2022. And we also know that the Department of Education is really taking that over simply because of the fact that what they're saying or what data and research is showing is that by the time a kid gets to kindergarten, first grade, they're saying that kids are not prepared for kindergarten nor first grade, which means that those years from that 2 to 5 year old, they were going to daycares, daycare centers, home daycare, church-based daycare, and they're not really getting, quote, what they need to be ready for, you know, for pre-K, not pre-K, because pre-K is that early age, but be ready for kindergarten or first grade, that they don't have the literacy skills, math skills, social skills. They don't have any of that. And then when you throw in, doggone it, these kids are being traumatized by the pandemic and having to stay home with parents that are abusive. When you add all of that in there, it is crazy. So they knew that they had to do something. And it's almost as if they're saying we have this standard curriculum that there are five different curriculums that daycare providers and center providers have to choose from, and they have to use that curriculum rather than your homemade one that you're working with 2 and 3 years old in your daycare. You can no longer use your own. You have to choose if you want to be licensed through the state. You have to use their curriculum. And so it's a lot of stuff, Francine. And when you really think about this thing, two things is going to happen. Either daycare providers, child care professionals are going to get on board with this, or they're going to say, forget all that. At one time, you know, when you had just social service coming in, they would just check for compliance. They were like, okay, do you have your smoke detector? You know, you're giving the kids the right food in terms of their meals and all that stuff, and you got right ratios. They weren't really paying attention to curriculum. They didn't care what kind of curriculum that you had as long as the kids were safe, they weren't being abused and all of that stuff. Now you're going to be monitored. You know, somebody's going to see you interact with the kids, and you have to choose one of these curriculums. So it's a big change coming. And so some daycare providers or child care providers say, you know what, I ain't doing that. I'm just going to keep, you know, my kids, or might go underground and just say, forget licensure. I'll just keep kids until somebody call the state or something. But that's what's going to happen. I think we're either going to see like a mass exodus of daycare or child care providers, and then we're going to see those who are going to adhere to it, or we're going to see people to just say, you know what, forget the license. I'm going to do mine on my own. I'm not going to take any federal subsidies. I'm not going to do any of that stuff because I don't want y'all monitoring me like you do, you know, people who are teaching in classrooms across the state. But what they're trying to do is just try to equal the playing field so that all kids are prepared for kindergarten and first grade when they start it.
Absolutely. And that's so, Veronica, this information is
so important, and I hope that people are taking it to heart, exactly what you're saying, because we know from past experience that by the time they're in their third grade, if they're not mastering that curriculum, that they already have a path for them to be incarcerated or drop out of school. And so we want to debunk that myth that our children are not smart enough and they can't learn. And so as soon as they can start doing the education piece, it's going to help a lot. These children are so smart. They use social media better than we do. You give a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old a phone and see what they do with it. They got you know, SpongeBob SquarePants. they can look. One little baby, his mama didn't want to order him. He wanted the ice cream, and so his mom gave him her phone. Well, little Johnny ordered his own ice cream. He ordered a whole truckload for the popsicles that got delivered to the house from his mama Amazon account. Come on now.
Yeah.
He's 3 years old. Now his mama got to run around and distribute this ice cream because she got it. It's paid for because it's charged to her card. And that's the other thing that drives me crazy. But anyway, I ain't even going to get on that because I digress from that. But just your child is smart enough to know how to get on Amazon and order popsicles, a whole truckload full that were paid for with your credit card. And tell me these kids are not smart. And they should be utilizing every educational tool there is for them to be able to master whatever test they give them going into first grade or kindergarten. You know, so it should not be that your child can't read or don't know its colors or don't know the difference between a square peg and a round hole. You know, all of those things that are important for the eye-hand coordination. And so that's where we fall behind. Because when we were growing up, my mom was a home mom for many years, you know, so she was home so she could help us with school. And then when I got older, I helped my sisters and my brother so that they could, you know, pass their grades. But now everything is electronics and on Zoom and a keypad. And these children, you teach them how to use it, but use it as an educational piece as well and let them make sure that they get what they need. And then the other piece, Veronica, I think, is they want to take music and certain arts and crafts out of school. I think is absolutely ridiculous because that's a part of their growing their mind and letting them know what shapes are and colors and processing those things. And music is important. And so even when I was a child, I remember we used to sing everything. So that's how you remembered it. If you sung it, if I sing my ABCs, I could do it forwards and backwards. Now, if I tried to say it, it wouldn't come out so good. But if I could sing it, I could sing it well. And so all of these things are important. And they and I hope curriculum, because the children need it. And then for our African-American children and our minority children, it should always be something in there about their culture, what it is, where do we come from, and all of that. They shouldn't have to wait till they get to Norfolk State or ODU to find out that they are of African descent. They should know that from the get-go. But anyway, you know I can go on a tangent on this as well because these are our topics that affect our babies, and we just need to make sure that we're doing all that we can do. And I know that you are, Veronica. You got great programs, and I'm so proud to be a part of it. And so if anyone wanted to get their children enrolled in the Kids Academy, tell them how they can get in touch with you and what's the process for becoming one of the 10. Because I know we have the board, do they do that?
So right now we have 7 spaces because 3 of the board members are all part of the academy. So we want to make sure that their spaces are reserved. So we have 7 spaces available. So you can always call me at 757-572-0974, or you can just go to our website to find more information. You can email me at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org. And the process basically is registration, which will open up probably sometime in December. It's $35 registration, and the rest of it is 12 weeks, and it is basically free for the parents once they pay that $35 registration fee. And so we're just looking forward, and the board will base, board members will look at the applications and determine, you know, who will be, who will take the 7 coveted spots that we have left available. So I'm excited about that, Francine.
Absolutely. And so I know that we haven't really put it out there a lot, but I think with this broadcast, we can just go ahead and blast it on our Facebook
mm-hmm.
pages and wherever so that
exactly.
people can hear this and then they can get in touch with you. And so if anything that Veronica has said, it piqued your interest, just give her a call. She'll give you her information. And if you would need to get in touch with me, my telephone number is 757-567-6734. And I would say it again. If you call me or text me, please leave your name, the reason why you're calling, and a good time to call you back. If you don't, then I probably won't be getting in touch with you because I don't have time to be trying to figure out who this is. I don't do that. Did you call me? I don't want to know. If you didn't leave me a message, I'm fine with it, you know, because I figure if it's important, you're going to call me back anyway. You'll get to me. And so please be, you know, serious inquiries only. And if you want to email me, it's icwdirector@gmail.com. And you can go to the website is issuesconcerningwomen.org. And speaking of websites, I know that I need to update it. So somebody sent me something the other day and asked that they want to, that I want them to update my website. And I was like, no, I'll do it myself. So I know we need to update all of our things for the coming year, because this, Veronica, can you believe it's October?
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Yeah, yeah, it is October.
Yes, it is. It is. And so I am just always excited to be on the broadcast with you, and you've shared some great information tonight. And so I hope that we'll get some serious inquiries about the two programs that you mentioned, and then, mm-hmm. You know, we'll move forward from there. So, Veronica, I'm going to let you close it out and just give them words of encouragement or whatever it is you want to say to our audience tonight.
Yeah, well, I just want to just tell everybody, just keep on pushing forward and walk in love. We just got to do, because all of this hatred and craziness that's going on from leadership all the way down to our schools, it is ridiculous, and we're going to have to figure out how do we come together in love. That's what we just got to do. And so those are my words to everybody. I'm hoping that we'll do that. You'll find somebody to do something good with. So take care, everybody.
Okay, thanks, Veronica. And oh, before I go, Veronica is a new author. So, Veronica, congratulations on your new book. I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear more about it, and we'll do a whole show on that. So, we're just going to
okay,
give them
well,
a teaser
you.
Tonight. They're like, what book? She got a book? Uh-huh, she do. So the next time we come on together, we'll probably talk about her book. But ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. We'll see you soon. Take care. God bless you. Have a safe weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye.